In this video, we're focusing on the impact of stress and the importance of coping skills or strategies that help reduce, manage, and work through stress so you can thrive in motherhood. Taking care of and raising a family is stressful, and stress is part of everyday life. But nothing is more stressful than becoming a mom and being responsible for caring and raising your child. Stress is a word that may seem like a negative state to be in, but in reality, stress is your body's normal response to any demand, deadline, or responsibility that you have. Stress can be described as positive stress, which is motivating, maybe exciting, and helps you accomplish goals and meet deadlines. And positive stress is often short-term. Some examples of positive stress in motherhood can be seeing your baby take his first steps and learning to walk, having your child's first birthday, the anticipation of the first day of school, when your child makes a sports team or excels in a talent or interest, and with older children, learning to drive, graduating from high school, going to college, and moving out. There are so many positive, stressful moments in motherhood. Negative stress is the opposite. Far from motivating, negative stress can be brief or chronic, and it chips away at our mental, physical, emotional, and social well-being. Negative stress often feels overwhelming. Some examples of negative stress can be going through a period when you don't enjoy your child, or you're struggling with a parenting issue or developmental age, or you have a child who's sick, or struggling to make friends, or being bullied at school, or not doing well academically at school. These are all examples of negative stress in motherhood. As a mom, I'm sure you've experienced both kinds of stress. And there can also be stress and situations in our lives that impact us, such as financial stress, marital issues, job loss, a health issue for you or someone you care about, returning to work or going back to school, conflict with your family of origin or in-laws, and moving. There are many life events and situations that can cause and create stress in our life. When you hear the word stress, I want you to understand what's critical is how we categorize and understand stress. First, we make appraisals about stress based on our perception of stressors. What may be stressful for me may not be stressful for you. Let's look at a simple example of making dinner every night. For many of us, this can be the dreaded task of the day, what to make and prepare for dinner. But if you've been traveling all week, eating out every day, I bet you can't wait to come home and make your favorite go-to dinner. Or what if you love to cook and that's the way you relax and creatively express yourself? As we discussed in previous videos, our feelings and thoughts are influenced by our perceptions, and so is stress. We define what is stressful based on our appraisal of a situation. Second, stress is influenced by the intensity, frequency, and duration of it. Simply stated, this means how long does stress go on? How intense is the stress? And how often does the stress happen? And third, the amount of support and resources we have will also impact our stress. Do we have a supportive sweetie, friends, and family to help us during stressful times? Do we have the resources to take time off from work, financial security, and flexibility to deal with stress and work through it with coping skills when it happens? Let's look at an example to highlight this. Every mom at some point has gotten up in the middle of the night to care for a sick child. Nothing is more stressful than having a little one get sick in the night and having to bathe and clean her and wash and change all of her bedding. Of course, this is stressful and disruptive. In this situation, if the stress is short-term, you would put the wash in the laundry, take care of your child, and while you're a little more tired in the morning and for the next few days, but you're going to bounce back pretty soon from this stress. Now imagine if you had to do this for a week, every single night, get up, bathe your sick child, change the bedding, and repeat. And your sweetie isn't one to wake up and help, and your washer's broken, so you're hauling the soiled laundry to the laundromat because your washer won't be repaired for days. Now the stress is becoming intense and chronic, and with your disrupted sleep, everything is starting to feel super stressful and taking away from your well-being. These examples illustrate how stress is affected by the intensity, frequency, duration, and the resources of support available to manage the stress. There are so many incredible stressors that arise in caring for and raising a child, which is why coping skills are an essential skill to develop in motherhood. I see the stress in raising a child like a math equation. A child plus growing up plus responsibilities plus caring plus nurturing plus protecting equals stress in motherhood. I've often thought about this. What if in motherhood, the only stress we had was raising our child? Years ago, I was on a walk with a girlfriend, and we were chatting about this very topic. If being a mom was solely focusing on your child. Motherhood is multifaceted and complicated because when we raise our child, we're also responsible for all the supporting roles of motherhood: work, volunteering, taking care of our homes, and all that goes along with grocery shopping, cleaning, cooking, laundry, and driving our kids around. And long before our child came into the world, we had a life filled with relationships, with family, friends, our partner, and we had interests and activities that filled our hearts and organized our day. And regardless of how involved your sweetie is with the supporting roles of parenting and raising a family, motherhood is a lot of stress. The stress and demands in motherhood will always be part of the job, the journey, the responsibility, and the good news here, if we can be aware of it and acknowledge how that stress shows up for us, we can take the steps to manage and work through the stress so we can experience more joy, calm, and happiness in motherhood, which in turn results in more connection with those we care for and love. Stress in motherhood has common themes, such as taking care of our children, making sure they're safe and healthy, and growing and thriving emotionally, physically, mentally, socially, academically, and spiritually. Maybe you've never thought of motherhood this way, but it's true. Intuitively, you're doing all of these things when you become a mother. And with such responsibility and hard work comes great joy and rewards. While stress is a word describing a situation or circumstance in your life, our response to stress is an important component of how we manage stress. Having the awareness of how stress impacts your physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual well-being is an essential part of creating a thriving mama mode. When you're aware of the impact of stress in your life through the symptoms you experience, you can learn to identify the signs of stress and add in behaviors and coping skills to help manage, reduce, and cope with the stress. Let's look at how stress can show up symptomatically. Physical symptoms of stress can include feeling achy, changes in your appetite, an increase in pain, stomach upset, diarrhea or constipation, muscle tension, chest pain, and rapid heartbeat. It can also include clenching your jaw, grinding your teeth, headaches or migraines, fatigue, sleep problems, and nausea. And it can be more cold and illness, tense shoulders and neck, and high blood pressure. Mental or cognitive symptoms of stress can include anxious thoughts, problems with memory, worry, difficulty concentrating, focusing on the negative, making errors in judgment, forgetfulness, loss of motivation, confusion, boredom, difficulty making decisions, impulsiveness. And emotional symptoms of stress can include irritability, moodiness, restlessness, difficulty relaxing, feeling overwhelmed, depression, unhappiness, having a sense of loneliness, anger, mood swings, irrational fears, and guilt. Stress can impact us in so many physical, mental, and emotional ways. And stress can also impact our relationships. For example, symptoms of stress in relationships can include a tendency to isolate socially, being slow to respond to texts and calls, canceling plans, an increased amount of conflict and argument, and feeling jealous or insecure. And you could also have fears of being abandoned and taking other people's behavior personally. These are some of the ways that stress impacts relationships. Stress can also present in ways that impact how we nurture our soul. For example, some of these symptoms can include a loss of interest in activities that nurture you, having cynical or judgmental thoughts, having no expressed gratitude, having limited or no compassion for yourself or others, having limited or no sense of purpose, having anger towards yourself or others, blaming yourself or other people for the stress in your life, and having limited prayer, or if you're practicing in a religion, limiting your services. In the workbook, you'll be able to look more in depth and discover how stress impacts you in these categories. My advice, embrace the stress of motherhood because it's not going anywhere for a while. But what you can do is develop healthy coping skills to manage the stress in motherhood. Here are some key aspects of coping skills. Coping skills are the activities, behaviors, and skills that you use to deal and manage with stress. Coping skills can be focused on a problem or situation, or coping skills can be used with an emotional reaction to a situation. Coping skills can be healthy, neutral, passive, or unhealthy. I like to view coping skills on a continuum, from healthy to not so healthy, and everything in between. Here are some things to consider with coping skills. A coping skill that works for you may not work for someone else. You have to know yourself. Be aware of what you need and what works for you. Coping skills can get overused or lose effectiveness when stress is prolonged. And a range of coping skills to use and choose from helps you to strengthen and broaden your ability to manage stress in intensity, frequency, and duration. Coping skills also evolve and change over time. Coping skills can be understood as self-care skills. Healthy coping skills help to reduce and manage stress and create an ability to thrive and improve health and well-being in all areas of your life. Passive coping skills do not actively work on addressing stress and, when overused, can be a symptom of avoidance. Unhealthy coping skills do not help to reduce and manage stress and can actually intensify, complicate, and create more stress, as well as reduce health and well-being in all areas of your life. Coping skills can also be framed and understood as self-care skills. That's why this topic is in the latter part of the course, because I want you to understand self-care skills create a foundation of resilience in motherhood and help to reduce and manage stress in motherhood when it arises. Self-care skills include taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and in your relationships. Coping skills is a general term, much like self-care. So, for example, physical coping skills can include getting a good night's sleep and using exercise to reduce stress. Mental coping skills can include using kind self-talk, being mentally engaged and in the process of flow. And emotionally coping skills can also include seeing a therapist or journaling your feelings. All of these behaviors are intentions to use self-care and coping skills to manage stress levels. Coping skills can be more direct than self-care skills and used in the moment to reduce or manage stress. For example, if you are having anxiety or panic attack, then self-care skills of doing something you enjoy, like sitting in nature or going for a walk, really wouldn't help you. You would need the coping skill of challenging your negative thinking or focusing on your breathing or distraction by talking to a supportive person. Those would all be examples of coping skills you could use in the moment. Self-care behaviors that would also be considered coping skills would be getting a good night's sleep, limiting caffeine, and having a plan to manage the stress or anxiety that you feel over with stressful situations. Coping skills, as you can see, can be considered a wide range of actions and behaviors. From a psychologist's perspective, coping skills fall into three categories: positive or healthy coping skills, neutral or passive coping skills, and negative or unhealthy coping skills. Positive coping skills are actions or behaviors that help you manage stress, reduce stress, and result in feeling calm, content, and happy with yourself and the other roles and responsibilities in your life. Examples of positive coping skills include challenging negative thoughts, problem solving to find solutions, taking the time to relax, reaching out to supportive people in your life, and taking care of your physical health. Neutral or passive coping skills are actions or behaviors that don't really help you manage stress or reduce it, but what they do is pass the time or can serve as a distraction or delay managing stress or reducing it. Neutral coping skills don't add to your life or your relationships. And some examples of neutral coping skills could be scrolling on your phone or binge watching a show. Passive coping skills are fine every now and then, but if passive coping skills is all you do, then you're setting yourself up for overwhelm and heading into survival mode. Negative coping skills are actions or behaviors used during times of stress that can have an adverse or not so great impact on your life with those you care about and the roles and responsibilities in your life. Negative coping skills do not manage stress, and most often they increase the stress in your life rather than reduce or manage the stress. Negative coping skills can include behaviors of escaping or avoiding, such as spending too much time alone, online, watching television, and unhealthy self-soothing behaviors, such as eating, excessive drinking, gambling, shopping, or video gaming. And negative coping skills can also include numbing and addictive behaviors, such as drinking or using drugs. Negative coping skills can be in the category of harming yourself with self-blame, destructive behaviors, self-harming behaviors to other people, and the use of abusive or hurtful words or behaviors to yourself, including blaming others for situations in your life. Coping skills like stress are all about the frequency, intensity, and duration. Let me share this example for a minute. Imagine you've had a really stressful day. To cope with the stress, you decide to watch your favorite Netflix and just binge watch 7 episodes. And you're also taking care of yourself by getting a lot of sleep, you're productive, you're exercising, and you're eating pretty well. One day of binge watching Netflix is going to be totally okay. But what happens if every time you encounter stress, this is what you do? You zone out in front of the screen and avoid dealing with stress. Over time, what's going to happen is you're creating more stress because you're avoiding the stress that you really need to deal with. When you're in a thriving mama mode, you have a range of coping skills, mostly positive or healthy, some passive or neutral, and on occasion or rarely, some negative coping skills. I know that's a lot of information to take in. Now that you have a foundation of understanding how to take care of your body, your mind, your feelings, nurture your relationships, and your soul, paired with an understanding of stress and coping skills, you are ready to put all of this together to create a plan to thrive. In the next video, I'll share how to create a plan to thrive. Be sure to have the workbook completed because all of your self-awareness and goal setting is going to be brought together to create your plan for a thriving mama mode.